and welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you, joining you in our hopes for Joseph Cooper's speedy return from a back injury. Well, last week at this time, we looked at the craft beer movement in Florida, but there's an ongoing craft food revolution happening in the Wynwood neighborhood of Miami-Dade County. Joining us now is Cordon Bleu chef, author, syndicated columnist, and our friend, Linda Gassenheimer. Good afternoon, Linda. Welcome.
I'm glad you put the friend in
know,
there, Bonnie.
I know. You look for that.
Yes. Nice to see you.
Likewise.
And Bonnie, you didn't mention that our studio's filled with special glow and aroma. Freshly baked artisan bread. What a treat.
Yes.
Yes. And they're brought here by our guest, Zach Stern. He's better known as Zach the Baker. And he's going to talk to us about artisan bread baking, but also about something you may have heard of, and that's crowdfunders. Sounds strange? Well, it's a concept that's taking root, and we're going to hear all about it from Zach. So let's welcome Zach Stern. Zach the Baker, welcome.
Hi. Thanks
welcome.
For having
welcome.
Me. Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Linda.
Great to have you here, especially with all this food here.
Oh, you'd be welcome anyway, yeah, you, Zach.
Yes, exactly. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions about crowdfunding or maybe about making the perfect bread? Sounds like an unusual combination, but they are connected. Give us a call, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email is radio@WLRN.org, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents.
And of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and he gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes columns. And you can also read Fred's wine column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, you folks are talking about craft food, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about craft beer.
Sounds good to me. Zach the Baker, you've made a leap from renting a small space to bake your extraordinary breads in a new facility that just opened up in Wynwood. It's a bakery and a cafe. So tell us, how were you able to expand from your small kitchen into your grand new big facility?
It was a slow process, but it was also fast at the same time. We tried not to rush anything, and we tried to make sure that the business justified the reason to grow into the next place. So we started off in the garage, and once we expanded to a point where they kicked us out of the garage because there was dough everywhere, and we were making a mess, then we looked for a new facility, and we found something in Hialeah, which was a more commercial, more professional place, which is what we needed anyway. So we went into this commercial kitchen, and we slowly expanded.
This was just making bread.
Just making bread.
Okay.
Just bread, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The staff of life.
Of his life, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, Hialeah, we baked and baked and baked. It was a struggle, you know, the whole way through. There wasn't a lot of money to pay a lot of employees, and so there was a lot of working, a lot of late nights and early mornings. But then once we had a big enough wholesale business, we were able to justify looking into another option. And we really wanted to take the wholesale business and make it present so people can see what we're doing, because we're doing something really cool. It's very real. It's very authentic.
When you say you're doing something real cool, can people now go into your facility and see you making the bread?
Sure. Yeah. So that was the point. Every day we go and we take this flour and water and we mix it and we create something. And it's a neat process. It's fun to watch. Kids, adults, they can be mesmerized by it. So at the bakery, you can come, you can sit and have lunch at the cafe and literally watch us during lunchtime, watch us shaping the bread. And it's neat. You don't get to see production like that anymore by real people.
Do you give classes?
Actually, we just did one last night, but we're not really set up for it yet. I'm kind of tired. I got to get a little bit more sleep, and then we can entertain these fun things.
So tell me then, it's very interesting how you raised money. I mean, the bread ovens are very, very expensive. You have to sell a lot of bread to cover those costs. How did you raise the funding for this?
The majority of the funding was raised through a loan. I took a big loan and I put it on my shoulders, and I feel it every day. And then when we got to the construction and it started going, and we started running through the money in a second. The grease trap, the plumbing, the electric, the air, the gas, the permits for every little city thing, they all take their piece of the pie. But then we ran out of money, and we didn't have tables, we didn't have chairs, we didn't have anything. So then instead of going to a private investor or going back to the bank, I wanted to keep the business owned 100% by the bakers. It was important to me. So I reached out to this alternative way of raising money, and this is where Kickstarter came into the play.
So Kickstarter, it's called crowdfunding, so there are other avenues people can go besides Kickstarter, but so explain what it is.
Sure. So Kickstarter seems to be the most popular one as far as I can see. Kickstarter is a way for anybody with a project. It has to be specific. There's guidelines and rules. They want to raise money, and people, they have a goal. They create a goal. So our goal was $30,000. That's what we needed. So we have this $30,000 goal, and we create a timeline, 30 days. That was our timeline. And then we offer, sort of like you guys do, the pledge drive. We offer different pledges, the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 500, the 1,000.
And what do you offer for it when you offer that?
We offer, similar to you guys, a tote bag.
Oh, okay.
That was okay. So there, for if you give $5, $10, you get a loaf of bread. You give $25, you get lunch when we open up. If you give $300, you get a loaf of bread every week for a year. $400, lunch every week for a year. You're basically pre-buying, you know, the
right.
So what? It's actually a form of barter.
Sure.
What used to be the way people ran their businesses before.
Yeah, they're pre-ordering their food, their bread from us, and it gives us a chance to get going, and then they come and they collect their reward.
So then you made your
$30,000
in 30 days.
Yeah, we did.
Well, that is amazing.
And what was the 30 days about? Why did you limit it to 30 days?
Well, there's analytics that suggest what's the most popular for this, what's the best way to get it. But 30 days, here's the caveat. If you don't reach that $30,000 goal that you picked, you get nothing.
Oh.
So it's stressful.
No wonder you haven't slept in 3 months.
That's not the only reason. That's part of it.
But Kickstarter is a company. So do they take some of the money, some of the funding that you get?
Sure, but it's not egregious. It's something like 5%. So if you can do the math.
So you need to do... Do your math beforehand.
So they get $1,500 and you get $28,500.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay, so now I mentioned that we had this studio filled with all this beautiful, beautiful bread. Tell us what we've got here. And I've got a plate here full of food. And Bonnie's looking at me like she's going to take it from me.
I'm coveting your bread.
Right. So tell us about the bread you bought.
Sure. So we make country bread. It's a old, ancient bread. We don't use yeast. It's flour, it's water, it's salt, and it's got the mother, the sourdough. And it's just an ancient form of bread.
And so for people who don't understand what a mother is, that's the...
The mother is the mother dough. Every time we make dough, we save a piece, and we put it in the next dough, and that's what's responsible for rising the bread. We don't use yeast. We don't use a commercial yeast in that sense. We use an old piece of dough, and it naturally rises the bread. They call it natural leaven. And this is what gives it the characteristic of this... this creamy, chewy, slightly acidic, this beautiful crust. The color on it is amber. It's not gold. It's even darker. It's rustic.
But it doesn't taste completely like sourdough bread.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's all technique. You know, you can manipulate the process and you can control the acidity high or low.
I see.
Right. I was going to explain what the loaves look like, but he's done such a great job. There are four loaves here, and they do have like a dark crust. The dough inside is very light. A lot of holes in the dough. What? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's the pride and joy, right. The crumb. The inside is the crumb, the outside is the crust. So our goal is to get a crusty crust and a very holy crumb, because the more holes, the creamier, the softer it is, the tighter the crumb, the drier, the denser it is. So you go and you look at bread around, you take a look at the crumb, and you notice the pattern on it. If there's nice big holes, well, that's going to be a very creamy, tasty bread.
It's also lighter.
Yeah, very light.
Because of that, yeah.
And we've got four different ones here. So what have we got?
So I brought four sourdough breads. It's the Jewish rye. We've got sourdough country bread. We've got sourdough multigrain. And then we've also got a sourdough walnut and cranberry.
And we've eaten them all, haven't we, Bonnie?
Yes, we have.
But then we have a plate here full of, you call them schmears. So tell us, what is a schmear?
Oh, it's not a schmear. That sounds like Einstein's bagels. There's stuff you put on bread, you know, a bunch of stuff on bread.
Okay, so we have one here that has, it's herring.
Sure. So at our cafe, one of our main things that we highlight, the way to showcase the bread, is we have these toasts. And we have a variety of sweet toasts and a variety of savory toasts. And so today I brought you a nice mix. The chef prepared, she's got a roasted beet with feta and za'atar. She's got a whipped ricotta with roasted garlic. And that looks like a local summer squash. there's a schmaltz herring. This is the one I'm really proud of. It's schmaltz herring, creme fraiche, and a little bit of dill on the top, and that comes with, if I'm around, I'll give you a little bit of vodka to make
and,
it go
and
down.
And I have to say, Trevor, he did give us a little bit of vodka.
Some of us.
Some of us.
Now, let me ask you, I always thought schmaltz was chicken fat.
Well, schmaltz, I believe, and I may be wrong, but schmaltz is Yiddish for fat, and so schmaltz herring, I believe, refers to a herring at its fattiest time of life.
I see.
It's okay. Right before it's about to spawn. It's got all that fat, and it's so good.
All right. So a couple of questions. What happens when you go from a very small garage, then a little kitchen, and now a big facility? How do you keep up this artisan? How do you keep up the quality?
It's a really good question, and it's something that I think that I've struggled with the whole time. You can't, with something that is handmade like this, an old-fashioned bread, you can't just turn up the knob on production. You know, you can't just go from 100 to 200 to 300 in one day. It's difficult. It's all about your equipment, number one. Can your equipment handle your demand? And number two, what's your system like? Are you tight in your systems? Are your observations clean? Are you taking down good notes? Are you keeping a very tight time temperature profile and everything?
So it's hard work because you're up at 3 a.m. and you're there till midnight or something, I would think.
I don't sleep very much. No, my brain is mush. They say that being sleep deprived is like being drunk, and it's how I feel.
Is it like the crumb?
The crumb?
Lots of holes?
Well, let this go for one. There's a craft revolution going on in Wynwood. So tell us, what's going on there?
Yeah, Wynwood, there's something cool happening in Wynwood. And I'm from Miami, so I've seen things pop up here and there, you know, Coconut Grove, Lincoln Road, this and that. But Wynwood, there's something unique happening in the sense that there's something independent, something with a soul, with a heartbeat. And I can feel it, and it's at the beginning, and it's really starting to pound. And as far as food, craft food in the revolution, there's a few craftsmen there that are focusing on food. For instance, you got Panther Coffee, which are making great roasted coffee there, and they've got a coffee house you can sit at, and it's a great place to go to. There's Wynwood Brewery. They're making their own beer there. There's us making bread there. There's Hugo Fresh, which is making cold-pressed juice. So there's all these people doing things, you know, and they're not franchise brands. No offense to them, but it's something different. And in Miami, that's hard to find that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in this 5x10 block.
Well, we're going to ask you more about that in a minute, but we're going to go to a break now. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Zach the Baker. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Zach Stern, better known as Zach the Baker. He's moved his bakery to larger quarters in Wynwood, and he's been giving us tips on making the perfect artisan bread and explaining Kickstarter, which has been a great success for him. Let's go to Cindy. She's been holding on. Hi, Cindy in Miami. Thanks for holding.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Thank you. First off, I was listening to the interview, and it's no coincidence that you moved into an area of doers, because that's what you are. I've been buying the bread from the bookstore in Coconut Grove, at the Daily Bread, and at the Pinecrest Market, and have followed your progress and contributed a little bit to the Kickstarter, and was so happy to see that work out for you, because it meant that there were enough people locally that got what you were doing. You epitomize homegrown talent. You give so much to our community. You serve Panther Coffee. You hire local carpenters, potters. You sell local vegetables, and you're an inspiration.
And okay, Cindy, thank you so much.
Cindy,
for
thank you. You're
welcome.
It's very nice to hear that. Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to go to dinner in minutes.
Great.
And today's dinner, it's a Korean grilled chicken with steamed noodles. And it's easy to savor the flavors of Korea because this chicken, it's coated with a garlicky soy sauce glaze. Now, you can grill the chicken outside, or you could cook it on a stovetop grill, or you could even sauté it. Any way you like. And I use chicken thighs because they have a lot more flavor. I put them in a bowl or maybe a plastic bag if you'd like, with some soy sauce, some vinegar, garlic, sesame oil, mustard, and ginger, and I let it marinate. And while it's marinating, I make some noodles, which is very simple to make. And then what I do is I keep the marinade. I pour it into a saucepan, and I cook it to a glaze while the chicken cooks. And then you put that glaze over the chicken so you get a nice, nice garlicky feel to it. And for the noodles, you just boil some Chinese noodles. I put in the same pan broccoli florets, some shredded carrots. There's no cutting or chopping here. You buy it already ready to go. And you toss that with some sesame oil. And I like to buy toasted sesame oil in this market. It has a nice flavor. It's a very simple dish. It's easy. The complete dish, the recipe, and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Well, you folks are talking about Wynnewood with all its new foodie reputation. And Wynnewood also has a new brewery, as Zach mentioned, and so I guess it's going to get a drinky reputation as well.
A drinky reputation?
Yeah, that's a good thing. And it's actually leading the way as Miami finally and belatedly joins the national trend toward craft beers. Wynnewood Brewery makes a variety of brews, a blonde ale, an IPA or India Pale Ale, a porter, a Belgian gold strong beer, and several others. And with them in the lead, other craft breweries are springing up all around South Florida. And in fact, this is going on all over the country. Craft beers are up 15% in the past year, while a regular beer is, you should pardon the expression, flat.
Fred, are you drinking beer while you're talking here?
It had to be said. Now, the thing about craft beers is they're a lot more fun than regular commercial beers, and here's why. If you're in a craft brewery, the brewer has no corporate bosses to tell him or her what to do and no marketing studies to worry about. So the brewer is turned loose to act out his or her fantasies. And this has led to what...
Remember,
in a lot
this
of
is NPR, okay, about this, you know, fantasies and all.
Well, these are beer fantasies.
Okay,
not,
good.
Not the other kind of fantasies. Although, well, never mind. and this around the country has led to what is called extreme beer. You have India pale ales with twice the alcohol of regular Budweiser. You have blonde lagers with three times the hops of regular beer, making them three times as bitter. And these are powerful, powerful beers. But you also have novelty beers that are just plain fun. Wynnewood makes a beer flavored with white chocolate and coconut, which sounds actually pretty good.
Is that in the beer, or is it just flavored?
They actually add it. Other breweries buy Godiva chocolate and put it right into the beer. I guess it dissolves in some way. And another brewery that I know about, not the Wynnewood one, makes what they call an Elvis Presley beer that's based on the singer's favorite sandwich. It has flavors of peanut butter and bananas, and for an extra 75 cents, they'll lay a strip of bacon across the top of the glass.
Is the beer? I want to know.
Beer.
So we're going to have peanut butter and banana in my beer with bacon?
No, it sounds good.
Bacon
sounds
on the
great.
Top of
That's
the
right.
glass.
That's right. Yeah, the bacon is on top. They don't put the bacon in the
right.
beer,
okay.
Although they probably would if you ask them. Anyway, these are not my favorites, although I am.
That's a surprise, Fred.
I am kind of coming to like the hoppier beers. But there's one big drawback to craft beers, and that's calories. It seems that with flavor comes weight gain. For example, a Bud Light, just a regular Bud Light made in part with rice as well as barley in order to make it lighter, has only 110 calories. But a powerful India Pale Ale by any number of craft breweries might have 250 calories or more.
For the same amount of beer?
For the same amount of beer, yeah. You'd have to chop wood for 35 minutes, I can do, to burn off the fat.
I was
going to
say.
So some of this is simple, inspired, hands-on brewing, making great beers, and some is just novelty. And whether you like them is up to you. You know what they always say, beauty is in the tongue of the beholder.
I never heard that one, Fred.
You didn't. Well, hang around here. You'll hear a lot.
I don't know. That Michigan air might be getting to you, Fred.
That's right.
Or is it the beer?
It's.
They do a lot of craft beer up here.
Do they? Well, I suppose they would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you a question. Hoppier What is hoppier in beer?
More hops.
Well,
more
if you hops, put in physically put in more of the hops plants that are used for making the beer bitter, you make the beer more bitter. And some of them can be three or four times or even five or six times as many hops as you get in a Bud Light, and it can really pucker you up, but it kind of grows on you, and I kind of like it that way now.
When we did that craft beer show, Fred, I did a little research, and there's a sour beer movement. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. That's beer made with wild yeast, and that, if I've ever come across an acquired taste, that's it, and I have not acquired it.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Literally sour. Why would you want to drink that?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know why you want to drink a beer that's triple bitter either.
Well, when you grow old, you grow bitter, you know.
I wouldn't know. No, we wouldn't know, would we, Bonnie?
No. We have an email.
Yes, go ahead.
Here for Zach. Pardon the pronunciation. It's David. He says, I think he might mean Matjes herring, not Schmaltz herring. Not sure, but it does say Matjes on some jars and never saw Schmaltz.
Oh, that's Dutch. M-A-J-T-E-S. Is that what it is?
M-A-T-J-E-S.
Right. I think that's the Dutch word for herring, isn't it? Or similar. It's when you buy herring in...
I don't speak Dutch. I don't know.
A certain type of... If it's not the
but thank you for the correction. I appreciate it. as far as I know, you know, it says on the package Schmaltz herring, what I've always known it as is Schmaltz herring. But yeah, maybe different cultures have different words to describe it. So thank you.
And actually, I might even be correcting myself in the sense that could be a type of herring.
Right.
When you're in Holland, that's what you get.
Okay.
So, and probably many other countries. But I want to go back to this bread making now. You opened up a cafe, so what do you serve at the cafe? Is it open for breakfast, lunch, dinner? When is it open?
Sure, it's open for breakfast and lunch from 9 to 4, and we have a pretty approachable menu where people can come in and they get to taste the bread and taste what we do, and we have a great chef, Chef Sasha Ariel, and she's made everything from scratch, everything from almond butters to jams, all from scratch, and we have a cured fishes, and we have different spreads, and you have the main thing that we showcase there on the menu are these toasts, which are like open-faced sandwiches, because we were going to make all these sandwiches and we still will, but then once we made one side, we didn't want to smush it with another piece of bread. It was so beautiful, so we said no, we should just keep it open so they can see we're getting local veggies, and it's vibrant and it's bright and the colors are beautiful, so
well,
we
I'm
just
looking
kept
at
them open.
Here and the colors
yes.
are beautiful. So what happens, you can you get the toast and then I can tell you what I want on it? Or is it already made up?
You can tell us, but we have a menu. No, you come in. It's quite normal.
like a normal cafe?
Yeah. And no, it sounds like this this crazy thing we're doing. But no, it's quite normal. And most people, when they come in, they'll know what to do. They come in, they see a menu, and they read it. They pick what they want. They order. We give it to them. We're very professional.
It's the way it works.
Yeah, yeah. We take credit cards now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing.
Well, great. Well, this has been very, very interesting and very delicious.
Yes, thank you, Zach.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Zach the Baker, thank you for joining us and for the extraordinary baked goods. You can go to, how do we find you, Zach?
You can come to the shop, and I'm there most of the time.
But online?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a website. It's www.zackthebaker.com. We also have social media. Right? We've got
Facebook.
Instagram, we got Facebook, we're very hip.
It's Z-A-K.
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 Z-A-K. The Baker.
And his store is at 405 Northwest 26th Street in Wynwood. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Bonnie, great to be with you.
Likewise, and thank you, Fred, and thank you, Zach, and thank you, Linda.
And cheers. Next week, we'll be talking with Anna French. She's going to be giving us tips on Brazilian recipes in advance of
the World Cup
tournament. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.